And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to another edition of the 9 to noon show here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. I hope you're well. I hope you had a nice weekend. And we're here to keep you company for the next 3 hours and throughout the day here on your number one local radio station, Highland Radio. It's 5 minutes past nine on Monday, the 17th of November, 2025. We're back in studio on Friday with a lovely day out, actually, at the Finn Valley College as they launched their Ard Donegal album. And it was great to meet so many of the management, of course, teachers, and the amazingly talented students. And any show that we broadcast of the 9 till noon show, if you missed any of it, by the way, you can go back and listen to some great performances, some lovely poetry readings and some songs and just great conversation. But we're going to do it all again today in the studio, as I mentioned, and we've lots coming up on the programme, including Shay Given, his reaction to that amazing game yesterday where Ireland defied the critics, me amongst them, I suppose, and not that they care what I think, and secured a playoff spot for the World Cup. It's a convoluted, complicated situation. We don't know quite who we're going to be playing next, but we do know we are going to be on one of four pathways to the World Cup. There are 16 teams in the playoffs. There's a semi-final and a final. Each round is a single leg. So the 12 group runners-up from the World Cup qualifying and the four best-ranked UEFA Nations League section winners that have not already qualified, they'll go into the draw. And then the 16 teams will be drawn into four playoffs with four teams in each making up two semi-finals and a final. The matches are on March 26th and the final would be on the 31st of March. So March could be a big month for Ireland. But we don't really know which pot we're going to be in. There's four pots and it depends on, you know, seeding and whether you have home advantage or not home advantage. And we could be in pot three. If certain results go a certain way, we could end up in pot two with home advantage. So there's a lot to play for. We don't know who we could play. But, you know, the World Cup dream is alive. We'll talk more about that, as I say, a little later on. If you want to share any stories about that game yesterday, please get in touch, 08660 25000. I had the team completely written off after the first two games, to be honest with you. And last night, really, I suppose, shows that maybe you should, you know, back the team if you're a proper fan. Calls have been made to install further traffic calming measures in Remelton after alarming data showed some drivers entering the town at speeds of up to three times the legal limit. This is the Donegal News. The data, which was recorded on a radar speed sign, showed that between August and October this year, the majority of drivers travelling into the town from Milford was significantly over the 50km speed limit. The sign, which is positioned in a built-up area of the town, also registered speeds of up to, now if you're familiar with this road, this will shock you, 150km per hour. Declan Meehan has spoken to the paper about that data. I didn't realise it recorded the data. It's good. That's actually a good, it's good data to have. The Derry News this morning, a Derry woman whose father died suddenly is urging anyone sent for an echocardiogram for potential heart problems to make sure the results are sent to their GP. Nadine Hamilton's father, Terence Moore, affectionately known as Digger, died on June 15th, 2022 from a massive heart attack. Speaking to the paper, Ms. Hamilton said, "My father died 3 months after he underwent an echocardiogram in Altnagelvin Hospital. My sister and I were devastated at his death. Daddy was central to our family. He meant the world to Erin and me." On to the national newspapers and just the most horrendous news came to us from the north and east of this country, and five young people with their lives in front of them, their lives wiped out in just a moment. And it was sort of like a story an event that seems all too familiar to us here in the northwest, and I think whilst the entire country will be devastated by this awful road tragedy, I think particularly here in the northwest, it will resonate more because unfortunately we've gone through this ourselves on a number of very sad occasions. Five young friends died and three others were left injured after a horrific two-car collision that left one vehicle engulfed in flames. The devastating collision happened when a Volkswagen Golf carrying friends Chloe McGee, 23, Shane Duffy, 21, Alan McCloskey, 23, Dylan Cummins, 23, and Chloe Hipson, 21, and a sixth person, and a Toyota Land Cruiser. They were involved in a head-on collision on a road near Dundalk, County Louth, on Saturday night. The Volkswagen Golf caught fire following the collision just after 9 p.m. The friends were travelling together on their way to Dundalk for a night out. The only survivor in the Volkswagen Golf, a young man in his 20s, was brought to hospital in Drogheda with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. A man and a woman from the other vehicle were also taken to hospital in Drogheda with non-life-threatening injuries. The tragedy represents the worst loss of life in a single collision on Irish roads for over 15 years. And we'll be linking into Dundalk a little later on to hear more. And I suppose we can only at this point send our good wishes, our prayers, our love, our support to everyone affected by that. And that will affect an awful lot of people. As I say, it was felt right across the nation, not least in that local community there. On to the Irish Times now, and the acting leadership of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland said failings in the area of child protection were inexcusable and appealed to abuse survivors to come forward. If you don't want to speak to Presbyterian Church in Ireland, then please get in touch with the police or victim support, it said. It follows the announcement last Wednesday by the church's moderator, Dr. Trevor Gribben, that he is to resign at the end of this month over failings in the church's child safeguarding practices. Now, you might remember Dr. Gribben was on this programme not so long ago. He was up here visiting and had a series of events. I'm not quite sure if he knew at that time that his resignation was imminent, but it is only a short couple of weeks since we were speaking to him. On behalf of the church, I apologise unreservedly to everyone affected by this and to the wider church. We want to do everything we can to support victims and survivors of our failings. We are truly sorry, he said. He was inexpressibly grieved and ashamed by this and said, we will not sweep this under the carpet. We will open ourselves to eternal review and will cooperate fully. An external audit within the church was already underway, designed by the Safeguarding Board for Northern Ireland, called Section 12. This audit will review its practices and processes and will be submitted to the Safeguarding Board, Reverend Bruce said. It's just remarkable what went on or potentially can be going on in these institutions, the level of abuse on such a scale from really, if you were to break it down, a relatively small cohort of the population is really, truly quite remarkable, quite scary. The Irish Daily Mail this morning. The coalition partners are at war over immigration as Fine Gael senators called for speedier actions. Tensions are expected to accelerate between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael after the curious decision by the junior coalition partner to table a Seanad motion on the sensitive issue. The performance of Fianna Fáil Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan on the matter is believed to have propelled him to the top of the party's succession stakes. One Fianna Fáil source said, it's a curious decision. Immigration is an ongoing simmering issue. Responsible coalition partners do not, if they are intelligent, raise hairs on matters like this, though it has been disguised by the ongoing Fianna Fáil leadership crisis and the housing plan. Privately, tensions have been growing between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael over what is being seen as an attempt by Fine Gael to seize control of the immigration issue. And there were more comments, actually, from Simon Harris in this regard yesterday. Well, the issue intensified in the wake of last month's City West riots in South Dublin when Taoiseach Simon Harris said, our migration numbers are too high, and I think that is really an issue that needs to be considered in a very serious way by government. Mr Harris, whose party held the justice portfolio from 2011 to 2025, warned one of the reasons they are so high is that there are too many people who come to this country and are told they do not have a right to be here and it is taking too long for them to leave the country. He added, we have to listen to people in this country who I believe are saying we used to live in a country where 2,000 to 3,000 people sought international protection each year. The Fine Gael private member's motion also raises the issue of the scale of the numbers, warning there are genuine concerns by local communities around the provision of international protection Ireland, which is quite a remarkable position from Fine Gael, especially considering they had justice for 14 years. But really, what they're saying is what a lot of people have been saying. And if someone had said it on this show, they'd have been said, don't platform them. You know, that's racist, that's this and that's the other. And now Fine Gael themselves are using this same language. And apparently there's a bit of tension between them and Fianna Fáil. We'll get an update on this story a little later on as well. It's from the Irish Daily Mirror, and it's the search for a missing UK Navy crew member. It's ended. It ended as light failed last night, and they have not been found, the UK's Ministry of Defence said. The Royal Fleet Auxiliary Tide Search crew member was last seen at about 10:30 p.m. on Friday. A large-scale multi-agency search has been taking place in the sea off the northwest coast between Tory Island and Eagle Island in Mayo. And no further details have been released about the crew member, and their family has requested privacy. And of course, there would have been local involvement in that search, and we'll find out what the story is there. All things going well a little later on. And finally, let's finish with the game. Troy Parrott's big toe. I think that does him a little bit of a disservice too, because the way he finished that goal last evening, it was directed into the goal. It was really showed great agility. Well, Troy Parrott's big toe was sent Ireland to next March's World Playoffs. The AZ Alkmaar striker's hat-trick in Budapest yesterday after his double against Portugal on Tuesday will rank as one of the all-time great weeks for an Irish footballer. Ireland have just picked up back-to-back wins against a pair of higher-ranked teams. Astonishing. Who would have thought in those dark moments after the defeat in Yerevan, when even Heimir Hallgrímsson struggled to see the light at the end of the tunnel, that their Group F campaign would end like this? It looked like another chapter would be written in the book of glorious Irish failures. But that chapter... he's not there just yet. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. And so the headline writers are having a ball, aren't they? The Late Late Troy Show, etc., etc. Because Ireland's World Cup dream is alive and well after that remarkable come-from-behind victory in Budapest, beating Hungary 3-2 at the Puskas Arena. Shay Given, former Republic of Ireland goalkeeper, joins us now. Shay, where does this rank in terms of just performances and results and campaigns, I wonder?
Well, good morning, first and foremost. Yeah, just an incredible few days, isn't it? From Thursday night beating Portugal, which was, I was there myself and at the Aviva, it was special. And you think, can they back it up away in Hungary, obviously, who are going for the exact same spot to get into the playoffs? And 2-1 down with 10 minutes to go, you're thinking, you know, the dream's over. And the way they just kept going and kept going, and to go in the 96th minute or whatever it was when that final goal went in, it was just, I think it was pandemonium up and down the country and around the county, I'm sure, of Donegal. It was just madness, and brought back so many memories, you know, for me especially, you know, as a player, but then even as a fan, the Jack Charlton era, all the way back to living in Donegal, you know, when the guys won a game of that magnitude, it brings the whole country together, doesn't it? It really does, you know, from babies getting lifted aloft to grandparents jumping off the sofa. It's just mental what the football can do, and this team now hopefully can, you know, they've written themselves in a little bit of the history books, because those memories the last few days will last a lifetime. But we hope we can do that final hurdle in March and get to the World Cup.
I mean, to even have those games, hopefully games, to look forward to in March is really quite remarkable. What do you put the turnaround down to? Because you know what we've seen in the last two games compared to what we saw in the earlier games in this campaign, yeah, it's just day and night, Shay.
It is, yeah. I mean, a couple of months ago when we lost in Armenia, we thought the party was over, didn't we? We thought it was so far to get to the World Cup at that stage. We thought the dream was over, and they've turned it around. The belief, I think, in the camp, I think the manager deserves credit, because he's never got too high or low. Even after the game yesterday, he was quite calm, I felt, after the game. So I don't know how he keeps that calmness, but that's a skill in itself. But hopefully we can keep this feel good factor of these two games. I know March is a few months away, which is no bad thing, because I think, you know, the lads can reset, have focus again, and going into their March games, you know, really ready to hopefully, you know, get, as I say, get over the final hurdle, get to the World Cup, because I think they've seen the reaction of the country now and what this team means, what it means to the fans. And I think this team and the squad and management have had a lot of probably stick and criticism over the last few years by not qualifying. And this last couple of days, you hope that feel-good factor really goes into their systems as well, and go, you know, what we can bring, what joy we can bring to the country is overwhelming, really.
I know a lot of the replays and what have you pick up from, you know, the knockdown and the toe in, but in fairness to the goalkeeper, that was some ball at the right time, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, Kelleher was brilliant. I mean, the last couple of, I mean, he's been brilliant the whole campaign. And then it's obviously a bit of a roll of the dice, Greg, if I'm being honest, in the last minute. I've been there myself, and sometimes it comes off and sometimes it doesn't. But it's a great ball into the box from Kelleher, and then a fantastic flick from Scales as well. Because if he doesn't get that touch, you know, we don't score. And if you keep an eye on Troy Parrott, you know, his movement, he's the one that gambles. He's the one that thinks that Scales is going to win this header. And if he doesn't gamble early, he doesn't get the touch on the ball to get in the net. So all these things have to fall into place perfectly, and the timing of it as well. If you're going to win a game, you know, the last kick of the game is away from home in Hungary. You've seen there's a very special stadium as well. I think the Champions League final is going to be there. This was no far out rubbish stadium, or with no, you know, the home support was hugely behind the Hungarians, of course, you know. So the character that will give this team as well to go into a big stadium like that, and the belief it'll bring them, so hopefully bodes well for March.
Yeah, the Troy's composure at that time to you know, toe the ball in, but to steer it in under the goalie. I mean, remarkable, so deep into a game to have that presence of mind.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, he scored 5 goals in 2 games, and it's just it's fairy tale stuff, rive the rover stuff for him, isn't it? Really, 2 against Portugal and a hat trick, you know, yesterday was just incredible, and the way he did it as well, Greg. You know the last kick of the game, you know. I think everyone was behind the sofa or just hands hands in your head time and thinking, oh, it's the dream is over, you know. But you just see the clips, you know, and even on last night on social media, and, you know, people at Dublin Airport or people in bars and restaurants, people at home, and just how it just unites the country. Like, it's incredible, really, isn't it? So, Troy's he's the man of the moment, isn't he? And hopefully he keeps that form going.
And you know what? And listening to the interview afterwards, so human, so normal. If you weren't already delighted for him, just that pure emotion, you'd have to have a heart of stone not to say, well, no, it happened to a nicer fella.
I mean, it's amazing, because when results weren't going well, you know, people would criticise and go, you know, these guys don't care. That, you know, do they know what it's like to play for Ireland, put on that jersey? But if you see all the interviews, not just Troy's, but all the lads, how much it means to them, like, it's incredible. Yeah. It's a special feeling to pull on that Irish jersey, and long may that continue. And Troy was just fantastic, wasn't he?
And it reminded me of actually a little bit of the Donegal story to some extent, where the lads had to come out and face the press when they weren't playing well, when they were in the doldrums before Jim came back, and they still did it. And then, you know, they went on to bring us some euphoric moments. We don't know who we're going to play in March. It's a little bit convoluted. Are we even sure which pot we might? We're in 3, but we might be in 2. I think we have to wait to see what Iceland do. And then, obviously, pot 2 would give us home advantage, I think, in the semi, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm not even. Do you know what? I've not even looked at it. I'm just,
and do you know what? Can I do you a favour? Don't, because no one knows.
I know, but I'm in my head, like, we're going to the World Cup now after the weekend.
That's
like,
it, that's, yeah.
Like, I'm booking the flights, I'm booking the hotels. It's all done and dusted. But what I would mention, Greg, as well, special mention to Seamus Coleman, obviously.
Yes, amazing.
Fellow Donegal man. I mean, what he's done for this group of players, both on the pitch and off the pitch. You know, he's hardly played for Everton all season. And they play 2, you know, full games like that, and the level that he's played at, like, and you speak to any player or staff member that Iron set up, and he is the heartbeat of the whole thing, you know. So he deserves such a special mention, and still to be going at 30, I think it's 37, maybe doing a disservice there, but, you know, he's getting into his late 30s, and the levels he's still at is very special.
All right, very finally, before I let you go, we're looking forward to you coming home on Friday the 5th of December. You're the guest of honour at the Breast Cancer Ball. It's a wonderful night, Shay. I'm not sure if you've been to it before. It's in the Silver Tassie Hotel. And tickets are still available, actually. So I just thought, whilst I have you on, for such a good cause, and you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I've not been yet, so my sister has been on to me the last couple of years, and the dates have tied in, so I can be there. And I think it's going to be a special night. It really is. I think, obviously, I'll be there. But also, I think it's, you know, the doctors and the specialists and the nurses, it's a night to sort of to thank them. I know cancer, there's a lot of, you know, heartache, and my family's the same, but I think there's a lot of good stories as well, and I think it's a night to celebrate, you know, all the good work that people do as well. So if you can come along and support, that would be amazing.
And finally, Shay, it's great to see you. We're also proud of you, of how you're progressing post your career as well. And it's great to see you on the TV, and you've just fit into it naturally. It's amazing to see.
Well, I think it's the old Donegal banter. If you can get the banter in there and get a few jokes and a few bit of humour, you'll get away with all sorts. You know what I mean, Greg?
All right, Shay. God bless you. Thanks, buddy. Take care. Look after yourself. That's former Republic of Ireland goalkeeper Shay Given there. And he's like the rest of us. He's honest too, which is, of course, why wouldn't he be? But looking at all the permutations of who, you know, we could play, what pot we might be in, but at the end of the day, as far as he's concerned, he's got his flights and his hotels booked for America. All right, listen, great stuff. And just to remind you, by the way, Shay is the special guest at the Breast Cancer Ball at the Silver Tassie Letterkenny. We weren't asked to mention this, but I just thought it would be an opportune time because tickets are flying out the door for that. It's, I'm told, an amazing event, an amazing night. And it's actually really quite affordable, you know, to be provided with so much glitz, glamour and entertainment. And also, even if you don't have a tux, by the way, lads, there's some brilliant companies across the Northwest that hire them out. So you don't even have to worry about that if that's the route you wanted to go down. Now, Inis Sheoghan seems to get more than its fair share of water outages. The most recent since Friday, there was mechanical issues at Slavery Water Treatment Plant. And I believe, Stephen, that must be the outage that's affecting you. A tough weekend with no water, I imagine.
Yeah, it is, Greg. The problem is that it went off on Friday without a warning or without letting us know. And my water, and where I'm just living past Cockhull, that my water come back on early hours of Saturday morning. But my daughter and my son lives up in Elland Park, and my daughter lives up towards Ballymacan, and they've had no water at all since Friday. Mm. Now, it's a disgrace at this day and age that they're out since Friday, and they're in a new house, and they've no water at all.
I don't see any information from Uisce Éireann indicating when the problems will be resolved. You know, this is not a burst pipe. This is a mechanical issue. So, unfortunately, I can't sort of say what the story is. I can only imagine, though, what it must be like going through the weekend. Well, I know myself. We've all been through it. But it seems to happen very regularly, Stephen.
It does. It seems to be happening more often now. Like, we had a power outage as well here on Friday. You know, the power went off. Shops, businesses had to close. And then, on top of this, then we had the water outage. Now, it's just not based on one spot. It's different parts of Buncrana. People have been out of water. As I say, myself, we've been out from Friday afternoon to late on Saturday morning, where my daughter has been out now on Friday, all day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and today still. And like, the shower purposes, kids going to school, filling bottles, you know, even toilet facilities, there's nothing there for them. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, and there's not, like, I did get an email, I should have probably published it because I thought this was being widely distributed, but I note from their, from Irish Water's social media that they don't really have a great much detail. They just say there are problems they're investigating. But as I say, I got an email then to say it was at this Slavery plant. I wonder, was it shorted through that power outage or something along those lines, Stephen?
I'm not sure, Craig. As I say, we're sitting here, we know nothing. They have told us nothing. And we're just sitting, waiting and waiting and waiting. And now my water itself today is very, very poor. Mm. It's just a trickle, you know, and you're expecting it to go off all the time. If you had forewarning, you could fill up bottles and tanks and you could have them sitting there. But they don't even give you forewarning. You're just cut off automatically.
Yeah. And apparently there is water available at Buncrana Fire Station, but that's, as you say, that doesn't negate your concerns. Stephen, leave it with me. If I can get any updates, obviously I'll get them out there. I do appreciate it. So just to read that release from I got this on Saturday, so I presume there's no update since. This Erin continues to work to restore normal water supply to homes and businesses in Bunkrana following a mechanical issue at Slavery Water Treatment Plant. As a result of these operational issues, customers in Bunkrana and surrounding areas may be experiencing low water pressure, as we heard from Stephen, or outages, as we heard from his family. Alternative water supplies are now available in the form of bulk tankers. They're accessible at Bunkrana Fire Station, and customers are reminded to use their own containers when taking water from the tankers there. A caller says, what about the water problem in Bunkrana all weekend? And when our councillors were asked, each one of them had a different story, and they talk about misinformation and disinformation. They are the kings of it, along with their masters. It's kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't, because there's no real... there's no real onus on councillors to sort of republish the stuff from Meta from Ishka Erin. Some of them do, but it's a kind of a poison chalice, because you have to do it all of the time then, and you will have to do it all of the time. And then people expect you to have answers, whereas other councillors don't publish this Ishka Erin stuff, and then there's no spotlight on them. So you're kind of damned if you do, and not really damned if you don't. Hi, Greg, can you please find out what's happening with the water situation in Bunkrana? It's been off all weekend, and other than a couple of hours yesterday. We'll just get an update from Ishka Erin on that for you categorically. And if anyone from Ishka Erin is listening, maybe you could send us an update to the update to our emails. A caller says there was an incident, a violent incident in Lifford last week, which has been reported in the media. Another thing worth noting is that it took an hour and 45 minutes for the Gardaí to land at the incident. With the seriousness of it, this is not on. A man was attacking someone with a metal bar. How is this okay? It's not okay. I was made aware of that incident pretty much as it was happening, and I contacted the Garda Press office, and they said at that time, we have no information because we're responding to it. There's videos going around of it, all right? Let's not pretend that's not the case. And there's names being bandied about and stuff, right? So the Gardaí then said that when they arrived at the scene, that there was no one there. So there's no one at the scene, and there's no one making reports to the Gardaí as far as we're aware. So in fairness to the Gardaí, it does make it a little bit challenging, I presume, then to pursue it quickly. They have to go through video evidence, etc., etc. So I saw the incident, didn't like looking at it. It seemed very violent. But when the guards arrived, everyone was gone, and the guards continued to investigate. And I would not be surprised if that forms part of the appeals from on Garda Síochána on Community Garda information tomorrow. Now, a large-scale combined Ireland-UK air and sea search off the northwest coast for a missing crew member from a British naval ship ended last night. A UK naval support vessel sent a distress alert near the island of Tory for the missing crew member, last seen on board around 10:30 p.m. on Friday. Joe Joyce is lifeboat operations manager at Lough Swilly RNLI. He joins me now. Thanks very much for your time, Joe.
Good morning, Greg.
So what was your crew's role in this search, Joe?
Well, this was a very, very large search, Greg, a multi-agency search. We got a request for assistance at about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning from the Marine Rescue Centre there in Malinhead. A crewman had gone missing off this Royal Navy Auxiliary Support Vessel. There was quite a large search area when he was last seen. Until he went missing, the boat had travelled, the ship had travelled a considerable distance, around about 19 nautical miles, which left a huge area to cover. So three lifeboats were launched, Lough Swilly, Arnmore and Ballyglass. And in a situation like that, the Marine Centre there in Malinhead takes over. They have quite sophisticated software. They always look for the last known point. And then they can go back on that then and start looking at tides, what the wind was doing, sea conditions, and try and predict where somebody might be. But given the amount of time that had passed when this crewman had gone overboard, it was really a needle in a haystack. It was a huge effort. Lifeboats joined, obviously, by some Royal Navy ships, Coast Guard helicopters, the Air Corps fixed wing, and a number of other Royal Air Force.
I mean, if you take Tory Island out of the equation as a point of location, this is in the vast open sea.
Well, we were 17 nautical miles off Torrey, which is really out in the blue. So it's a massive, massive area.
It stood down
given
now as like
the conditions.
Sorry, Joe. Talk to me about the conditions. I beg your pardon.
quite difficult conditions too. You know, big seas. Saturday was quite a windy day. So yeah, it was a really, really hard task on the crew there. They were out there for 9 hours. You know, Malin Head give you a box to search, and you literally the boat goes up and down this box, a certain distance apart, just looking in the water and seeing if they can see anything or anybody, or trying to identify anything in the water. So it's a huge task.
The search has been stood down. Has it resumed at first light, or is it a case that, you know, with the loss at sea in its location, you sort of go at it initially, but there comes a point then whereby it's the fact that the search area is actually widening, not narrowing. What happens next, Joe?
So we were stood down about 5 o'clock on Saturday when kind of light left us, so we became ineffective at that stage. But they did bring in specialised aircraft, then Nimrods, then to go over and back the search area again. So there was quite a lot of activity. The Royal Navy boats themselves there had some helicopters, but our own assets then, you know, the infrared cameras and the helicopters wouldn't really work because of the length of time in the sea. So it comes a time when it just becomes, the longer you leave it, the bigger the search area becomes, and it just gets to the point where you just can't go on. So we were stood down on Saturday evening. They continued the search Sunday with their own assets, and I think now the search has been called off.
I note those that responded to this, the Coast Guard, RNLI lifeboats, the Royal Navy and the Royal Air Force. These are Irish waters, are they? And perhaps they're international. You can correct me on that. I don't see the Irish Navy. Was the Irish Navy involved in this search at all?
Not to my knowledge. There was no naval presence there. There is a 12-mile limit, so it'll be international waters.
Okay.
These waters are, of course, off Donegal, which is kind of the gateway into the Irish Sea, you know, between Donegal and Scotland. So there's an awful lot of traffic out there, a lot of commercial, a lot of military, given the situation that's going on in the world at the moment. It's quite protected.
But in the past, would we have expected to see the Irish Navy involved in this? I do know they have some resources issues and boats tied up because of staffing and all. I'm not getting into that, Joe. I'm just curious if that's something that needs further looking at. Like, would you have seen historically that the Irish Navy would have been involved in an operation like this?
It depends where they have the assets at that particular time, but okay. We have worked in the past with the Navy.
All right, okay, as I say, it might be something we might make separate inquiries on, because I think it's really, they were quite notable in their absence there. Joe, thank you very much for your time. That was a tough call to get, wasn't it? I know you're all volunteers. I know you're all the fourth emergency services, so to speak. I can only imagine what it's like on the back of that boat heading, and then going 17 nautical miles past the last piece of Irish land. It's very relieving when your crews get home, I'm sure.
Thank you, Greg. Thank
right, look after yourself. Thank you very much indeed. A caller says, how was the British Navy allowed to do the search? Why wasn't our own Navy doing it? Well, perhaps unfair to ask Joe. The only thing I thought was interesting would be as to why we weren't there. But as you heard Joe reference there, this is international waters, 12 miles beyond. Another asking, why is the British Navy off the coast of Ireland? Well, off the coast of Ireland is international waters, it has to be said as well. Greg, can I give a big shout out to everyone involved in the Christmas lights turn on in Ballybofey Stranorlar last night? What a day and evening with the Christmas market and McElhenney's window and show at Car Park. It's a long time since I've seen the town buzzing like that, with a fantastic turnout of at least a few thousand people, and weather held out too. Brilliant and well done. That comes in from Patrick Foy. Yes, Patrick, I was watching on, and not from the street, but on the social media. And what a crowd. Absolutely buzzing it was. And that really is it. That's the Christmas season well and truly underway, is it? I think perhaps, maybe. So just more confirmation from Irish Water, Uisce Éireann, that they are investigating reports of supply disruptions affecting Bunkeran and surrounding areas. Crews are working to restore supply as soon as possible. We've got nothing else beyond that. But I do know that hopefully, I will send a message to those that messaged me from Ishq Aaron. They just sent press releases, by the way. I don't have any back channel to see if we can get an update on those mechanical issues, if it's that that's still causing these problems, and what we can do to accelerate it. Hi, Greg. 25% football would have happened a long time ago. Sorry, 25% football would have happened a long time ago if not pure greed of zoning up. Oh, footfall. I've got football on my mind. My apologies. 25% footfall would have happened a long time ago if not pure greed of zoning of lands up to the former bypass, thus making it unfeasible for TAINRA. Guess what? We're back to more bad zoning with the latest housing plan, which shall dish the OPR and in turn the Mahan Tribunal's main recommendations. Okay, thanks for that. Karen Mullen is director of the Foyle Network Foundation and has very kindly joined us this morning. Thank you for your time, Karen. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. Keeping good. Thank you for having us on.
No, it's good to have you on. And whilst this is a warning that's coming out of Derry, it's a warning for all of us. It just so happens that you've taken the opportunity to get it out there. And it's warning people to stay alert to harmful money lenders this Christmas. So, I mean, obviously, what is out there that you're warning people against? You know, what cases have you come across or would be familiar with, Karen?
Yes, Greg, as you say, it's not particularly Derry. It's happening right across the island and across the water as well. We have been together as a group, as a steering group, with a number of organisations in the city now for about 2 years. This is ongoing work that we do, Greg. But at Christmas, we tend to see a spike, obviously. It's a really financial pressure for families at Christmas. So that's where we tend to see more people turn into that sort of quick, instant cash, not realising what the interest rate does. And it's taken them many years to pay off for one Christmas.
And are these legal or illegal? Because obviously, you know, you've got these payday lenders. And, you know, if you look at the interest rates compared to what you might see for a car loan or something, they're absolutely astronomical. Or are loan sharks still a thing where people sort of go from estate to estate or house to house sending lending cash, but also at incredibly high rates?
Yes, both illegal and illegal. I would actually say some of the legal ones should be illegal, as you talked about there, the high interest rates. How they're getting away with it is shocking. But yes, there still is people operating within communities, lending money. And as I say, I would be aware that it's happening right across, and I'm sure it's in Donegal.
Yeah, and we have this situation too, that these are going to be people who are most in need, people that are, you know, the least resourced, and they're trying to make Christmas for lots of different reasons and some obvious ones, of course. But this is money that has to be paid back, and quite a bit of money on top of that, and, you know, can make for a very difficult January, February, March and beyond.
Yeah, this is people who are maybe not working in low paid jobs, or maybe have experienced a debt in the past, who can't go to reputable lenders, maybe like ourselves, such as banks and building societies, and turn to these type of lenders, who then prey on people in this situation because they know they've nowhere else to go. But the message we're getting across here, Greg, is I suppose this isn't only at Christmas, because people turn to these people throughout the year, is that there is good reputable lenders there for people who are on the lower income, such as our credit unions. And I know in Donegal you have great credit unions, just like us here in Derry. Our credit unions are part of our steering group, and we are trying to get the message out there around saving throughout the year. You can access smaller loans from them. So our credit unions here will give small loans, £50 to £100. You know, if your child needs a pair of shoes, or if you need oil, fill, you know, come and speak to them. And also we have great advice services both here and Derry and Donegal, and we would say reach out to them for advice beforehand as well.
Yeah, and I'm not saying exclusively, but, you know, for this Christmas, I know it might be difficult for people listening, because they might say, that's all well and good, but I can't go into a credit union or another lending organisation because of my credit record or this, that and that. I think a good bit of advice is actually not to be waiting until the panic hits, you know, and start an all-year-round kind of a budgeting situation. As you say, it's not exclusive to Christmas, but we're speaking now because we do see a peak at this time of year. So it's trying to sort of, you know, get through this Christmas, but maybe even be planning for 2026 so you don't find yourself in this cycle again, Karen.
That's right. What we do here, Greg, as I say, it's throughout the year. We have a savings scheme with three credit unions in the city. So wherever you live and wherever's your closest. So members who use our access our food bank service will save all year round with the credit union. So we're trying to get upstream. We all need to plan and save for life events such as Christmas and holidays, no matter really what your budget is. And we all at times all will need credit for different things. So it is getting that message out there, you know, don't leave it to the last minute and plan in advance as best you can. Our credit unions allow a small amount of savers, So it really, really helps people. And that small amount then, they will give a loan on the back of it. And the credit union movement is very good and very supportive. Here in the north, we would have a lot of information online through Consumer Council and others. So I'd say in our advice services, reach out to them or any organisation similar to ourselves in Donegal. What we have done, Greg, is we have been able to, I suppose, we're there to support the person. We want to get upstream as much as possible. But when we're finding people in these situations, we have been able to work along with our credit unions and others and get people out of particularly the illegal doorstop lenders. We've been able to support people to get them paid off. And it is, the message is starting to go through. As I say, we do it all year round. But the lead up to Christmas, we raise more awareness.
Yeah, and I suppose too, a lot of this at this time of year is driven by, you know, trying to match expectations, and, you know, maybe we need to sort of work on that a little bit and understand that sometimes, you know, all expectations can't be met, and that's the reality of it, and you have to think of the long game as well.
That's it. You know, part of our campaign is responsible lending, responsible spending. So it's putting the onus on the person as well. It's not just the person, the lenders. You know, we can all get caught up and we do want to have a good Christmas and we want to ensure our children has. But we see people here, Greg, and they're still paying off a Christmas from 3 years ago. Yeah. Is it really worth it? You know, they've moved on from that. And there's a lot of other support out there. So I would say, please don't put yourself under pressure. Try and do what's manageable. I know we all take out a wee bit, but do what's manageable that you'll have paid off in a short time.
And be find out precisely how much you'd be expected to pay back as well, because, you know, it can look very attractive, but you get deep into the small print and it becomes very unattractive all of a sudden. And then next thing you know, you can't borrow off anyone potentially. Okay, listen, thanks for that advice, Karen. Look after yourself.
Thank you, Greg.
Bye-bye. Take care. Karen Mullen, Director of the Full Network Foundation. As I say, they're leading out in this information at this point, but it applies to everyone right across the region and beyond. There's a lot of pressure and a lot of expectation, and you see some of the expectation and you think, are you having a laugh? So you can imagine the lifespan of something and still to be paying for it 3 years later. You have to be really careful. We try our best, but sometimes we have to say, well, is this the right thing to do? Let me see, what time is it? Do I have time for that? No, it's quite a long one, so I'll come back to that. It's a person with issues with car insurance. Hi, Greg. There is a large car park at the back of the retail park at TK Maxx on the other side of the River Swillies, the new proposed municipal graveyard. Option one, car park and proposed extension to graveyard side with a pedestrian footbridge linking both sides. Option two, car and pedestrian bridge over the Swilly linking both sides. Both options will take a lot of cars off the four-lane road, as can access main retail area of the town via Leck Road. The exit Letterkenny via same bridge to Leck or Lismonahan or Rann, taking traffic off the Pierce Road. That comes in from Eddie. Eddie, who's put a bit of thought into it. Thank you. Appreciate it. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. I think the chances of changing any plans now at this point, even if they seem to make a great deal of sense, are slim. Just to remind you that if there's anything you think we should be talking about, anything happened up your way over the weekend, any good news, positive stuff to pass on as well, we love it all. WhatsApps and texts to 086 60 25000 or give us a call on 07491 25000.